Okay, so let's do Tosfos. So as we saw yesterday, there is a seeming stira between the Gemara in Menachot and the Gemara in Sanhedrin as to whether you're allowed to add strings. And consequently, there is a machloket rishonim, whether you're allowed to add strings, the Baal Hatur and the Rambam, you can add as many as you want. The sheet of the Smach, the Rashba, you can't add at all. And we dealt with that yesterday. But as we said, there is this very odd sheet of Tosos that we really need to understand. So if you look at Tosos, I don't know if you saw the picture from on Facebook of the Rav Chaim Moser's guys. They went to Aroma for a sihum on this Tosfos. Yeah. They've been working on this Tosfos for like 6 months. Just, they're basically learning all the sigyot in tzitzit through the lens of this one Tosfos. If you remember when we started this parak, I said there's this one long Tosfos. I want you to like look through it a little bit, but don't kill yourselves on it. But behold, they killed themselves on it, and therefore they made a sihum just on one Tosfos.
That they spent five.
Well,
on
you
it.
Can really get to a lot of the sigyas through this Tosfos. I think that was the logic, but. So look at.
We could do a CM too.
Yeah, we should do a CM. Oh. Taka, because we're finishing tzitzis and everything I want to do in this parak by the end of the week. So maybe. Oh, Tzvi wants to know. He's giving shir to Reagan's Ridge's guys on Sunday. But Chela. Now we've done the stuff. But we're also going to the factory on Tuesday, so I'm happy So I'm happy if you guys want a refresher to sit in on Tzvi's chair on Sunday.
Rabbi Ginsburg said it's a really good chair.
I know. I've looked at it.
He said you
get I looked over Makaro's. No, it is a very good. Look, we looked at most of the Makaro. I looked over his Makaro.
Is it just the same thing as you? Like,
I can't tell you how he's going to teach it.
Is it on what is Tcheles? Like, how do we know this is the right Tcheles?
Yeah, it's the modern Tcheles question. Yeah.
So it's not. Is there some talk about if we should be wearing it?
I think he's doing some of that, yeah. We did some of it, and Rosh Hashanah is going to do some of it on Thursday, hopefully. Like this Thursday. So, but you guys decide. It's not a rush. Decide on Sunday.
I guess we'll see how it's going.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Is it, how long is it? When's he giving it?
On Sunday during morning Seder.
So there's a Hachana beforehand?
I assume so. I don't really know. But whatever, we'll figure it out.
So maybe we'll skip Hachana. Maybe we'll shoot during Hachana and then go to Shir.
Maybe. Maybe we'll do a Parm Sugya during half leg or something like that. Okay, anyways, let's look at Tosfos. So if you look at the middle lines of Tosfos on Lamed Chedem and Aleph, he says, Mihu, Besof Ilhen Nachnaken Mashma Di Imhostev Chutin Bekrach Echad Pasol, Kabizakin Mamre. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it sounds like if you add more strings, it invalidates. Not just Osir, but invalidates. The Amar of Lazar and Chayav Al Davar Sheikar Medivay Torah, Pirushem Medivay Sofrim, Vyesh Belosev Imhostev Gareyam. Va'anu ein lanu ela tfilin uparech va'ednet tzitzit u'mishani ikesher elyon lav daraita ha'ilu chudei goi v'ilu chudei koi v'ikesher on daraita gerov omedu. Remember that I just ran through that because that was literally just a quote from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Va'hai de lo muki lahatam behit de la mutelet mishum de doma lo mifsil lo pekach. So now he says, why didn't he just say it's a case where you add it to tzitzit which already has tzitzit? Or you added string something that already has tzitzit. So he suggests that maybe, first Kiddush of Tosfot, is that maybe even according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's only possible if
you add when you're making it?
Yes. That when you initially make it, you make it with five.
That's baltosif, but if you're adding
exactly.
It afterwards, it's...
Well, no, that's not what he says. So you could have said that, or you could have said if you add later, it's not baltosif. He says it is baltosif, but it doesn't invalidate. Because remember, we saw there's two things. There's baltosif, and then there's baltosif that invalidates.
Right.
So he says, Ava goes to overall baltosif im nikat vin lahosif. So he says the following. If it's hitil lamutelet, and you already have tzitzis and you add string. So if you don't intend to add, so then, not baltosif. If you intend to add, baltosif. Vimlon is gavin chari, but if you add at the beginning, it's not only is it baltosif, but it's pasul. Now that seems to be because Tosfos thinks there's two concepts of baltosif. There's baltosif which changes the cheftza. And then there's baltosif, which is how you relate to the mitzvah, maybe? If you remember, when Rav Rosenzweig went through all these formulations. But Tosfos seems to hold that both exist.
There are two ways of looking at it.
Yes. Exactly. You were lucky it was only... You were lucky that there were only two. Okay.
What happens if there's three ways of looking at it? Does Rabbi Ginsburg throw out one of them?
No, there can be three, or there could be 300.
I've never seen him say there's three ways to look at it. It's always two.
Three ways to look at it.
So in reverse Zweig's here, there can be two, there could be three, there could be 300, there could be 3 million. You know, when we were learning Yevamot, it took us a month, I think. A month? 3 weeks, maybe? To get past the psukim. Just analyzing the psukim.
Did you know that under the strictest conditions, there are 10 to the 125th different ways a chess game can go?
Wow. That's about how many possibilities there are in every sugya when I was in shir.
That's only under the strictest conditions.
Okay. So Tosef seems to hold that there's two different types of Baal Tosef. There's Baal Tosef where I intend to add to the mitzvah, but I don't transform the chepza, which for him is, if I already made tzitzit and add strings to it, but and I intend to add to the mitzvah, so then he holds, I don't invalidate, but I do violate Baal Tosef. If I put it on initially, so then I transform the chepza, and therefore it's Gorei Avom, right? It's Gorei Avomi. And then he says, "Umay demaflig lekamon bein talit bat arba talit bat shmona." But now he has a problem because Tosafot has just established that adding tzitzis l'shem mitzvah is always usur. The only question is whether it invalidates or not, which he says depends on whether you do it when you make the chefta of tzitzis or later on. But whenever you add with the intent to add strings, which seems to be clearly the sugya on Mem Aleph, because there it's not just Linoi, it sounds like. At least that's how we understanding. So what do? Hachi perusho, betalet bat arba, dainu shnayim chutin shein arba, kishein kfulin. Shlo hayelo tchelet, venotin elu shetsvuin kol ilam makom lavan, betalet bat shmone, hainu bat dal, shein kfulin, shein sparkulam, tchelet, v'ikach men liftor talet acher. Possibility one is that 4 and 8 doesn't mean 8 and 16, it means
4 and 8.
2 and 4, which is 4 and 8. And then you'll tell me, how could you ever have tzitzis, which is 4? And the answer is, because remember, that Rashi thinks that what does tchelet in ma'akivet alavan mean? That if you don't have tchelet, you have
4,
which is 8, which is white. But Tosfot thought
it is ma'akev.
That, no, the not ma'akev means that if you don't have tchelet, you don't have those strings at all. So Tosef's first possibility is, you're right, you can never ever add. 4 and 8 don't mean you're adding. 4 and 8 mean 2, which is 4, or 4, which is 8, and the case of 2, which is 4...
And they hold that half the strings are tefillah.
Correct. And therefore he says, what we're worried about is as follows. If you have 2, which is 4, then that's kula tefillah. But if you have 4, which is 8, and you put 2 tefillah and 2 kala'ilon, that's the case of the problem. But his first possibility is that the Gemara is not dealing with you adding strings at all. The maximum there is 4, which is 8. The 4 is a 2, which is 4, in a case when you don't have tchelet, or you don't have white, or whatever, and therefore you only put 2. But he says, "Umiu kasha lefeir zed debat arbanami is marshu tchelet Yosef alein lavan shel pishta." And he says, "I don't know what that. That doesn't really work." Because the problem, if you remember, was that we were worried about what would happen if you used indigo. So he said, "Bat arba was too white, is when you had no tchelet and you only put kala ilan instead of the white. And 4 is where you put 4 blue, 2 tchelet, 2 kala ilan. But he says, from that vantage point, you can't tell me that either of those cases are not going to lead to confusion and lead to problems of kala ilan and all the related problems. Because that whole situation is confusing from beginning to end. Because even when you have 4, if you put 2 strings, which are kala ilan, and no tchelet, so you're also going to get confused because you're going to think that If you look at two strings on the tzitzis and you see them that they're blue, you're not going to say, oh, those are white strings which were dyed indigo. You're going to say, those are tchelet.
Right.
Right? And therefore, you're going to add them to white rather than add them to tchelet, which is what you should have done. So he says, that can't be what the Gemara is talking about. That's just because you're going to be confused one way or the other. Said besides, the case there is says explicitly that you're hanging tchelet with something else, which means this isn't a case where you're missing lavan. It's a case where you have both. So he nixes this. And he says, therefore, I'm sorry, I have to go back. The simple pshat of the Gemara in Memalef is indeed 4 and 8, which is 8 and 16.
Right.
Meaning 4 whole strings and 8 whole strings. So now we have a problem because Tosfot already paskin like the Gemara in Sanhedrin that are you allowed to add strings? Never. The only difference is when is it invalid? If you add it at the beginning, it's usser and invalid. And if you add it later,
it's
usser if you do it l'shei mitzvah, but not invalid. The Shema. So then he has his chiddush. The Shema kol mashem mosif chutin me'arba al chet laval mosif hu v'lo mifsil bekach. 4 to 8 is mutter. After 8, pasul. And what's his proof?
He's saying that the bottom is actually 4. So when
the bottom is 4, which is 8, and the top is 8, which is 16, there's a range.
Oh, so 16 you could have.
16 you could have,
which is just 8.
Correct. If you want to, let's talk whole. From now, let's just talk whole strings. So I don't have to keep doing 2, which is 4, 4, which is 8, 8, which is 16, which is driving me a bit nuts here. Even though, you know, it's reminding you how to multiply by 2 if you forgot your basic arithmetic.
No, it's been like 5 months.
So you haven't yet forgotten.
Pressure. No, it's
good. Two squared, 2 cubed, 2 to the 4th. But that's what we're doing here.
Right? Sometimes you forget numbers could do that.
Yes.
Which sheet makes it that we're doing as if 2 cubed to get 8?
We're not doing 2 cubed. We're doing 4 times 2 or 4 squared?
Yeah.
We're not doing 2 cubed. There is no 2 cubed here. I mean, there is, only in the sense that 2 cubed is 4 times 2.
Yeah. 4 cubed.
See, he's been out of high school a year and a half. Right. So now the math is already gone. Right. It's totally gone.
That's where you draw the line.
4 cubed is 64. I would
think. We can go to CERN and understand quantum mechanics, but 2 times 2 times 2 already. That's
eight.
It. Very good.
Our code.
Hopefully.
If you want, you can sit in while I read my kids the Higgs boson book. I'll remind you of that. Yeah, it's a great book.
Well, your kids have. Quantum physics book.
I bought them the pop-up book from the gift shop at CERN, which is it's the Hadron Collider pops up and the Higgs boson pops up and they just do
that's kinda cool.
Like quantum mechanics. But then someone showed me.
Is it just pictures or does it like actually?
No, it's like very on the side. It is so detailed and my kids are like listening intently. I'm sure my 4-year-old has no clue what's going on. Maybe Mayer has a basic inkling of what I... But it's very detailed about quantum... Or detailed for a pop-up book. Mm-hmm. That one of my friends from high school posted that there's that they have board books. Like, you know what board books are? Board books are mamish for like 1-year-olds because they're the ones made of cardboard that kids can chew on.
Yeah.
But they have them in quantum mechanics.
Is that the
point,
so they can chew on them? That's what they're
called. Yeah, that's what they're called. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
And they can't rip them. Well, chew on them and they can't rip them. Or it's harder for them to rip. But they have them in like quantum mechanics, Newtonian physics, Einsteinian physics. I'm like, what the heck are you doing, these little Kinderlach?
Yeah, if you're young enough, you still need one of those. Like, you're not going to understand.
Exactly, so I don't know. But this is a bit older than that. So Tosfot says, you have a range, 4 to 8 whole strings. And that's how he understands the Gemara Membet. The Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Rami Arba, Rav Acha Midifti Rami Chet. V'hasha lo pligi, kulei hai, el damar avid ha-pachot, umar avid ha-yeter. And he said, therefore, when the Gemara says you had 4, which is 4 and 8, meaning 8, which is and 16, that wasn't a machloket. Right, Tosfot, Rashi thought it was machloket. Remember, 2 days ago we did Rashi? Rashi thought that there was a machloket, whether it's 4, which is 8, or 8, which is 16. There was actually a sheet in the Gemara that you needed 16, 8, which is 16. And then we went through all the different drashot. Is that because he thinks Gedil 4, Gedilim 8, Gedili 8, Gedilim 16, or some other bizarre drasha?
Does he say 8 is just is better in a way, or it's no. Just you could have 8?
He says minimum, no maximum, difference. Right? That's what he said.
And there's no difference at all.
And he says Uvim Sanhedrin, and then the Gemara Sanhedrin, when it says you're not allowed to add, Mairi, the most of Tvei, Mitobnaya, is when it's more than 8. And he says, Vitzarach Ta'am, I gotta ask, Minola, where is that from? Dibish lama I pligi ba demam de rami arba sabra kedershin gedil shnaim gedilim arba uman de rami tamnai sabra de gedilim de gamara chmana akol min umin kai. So now Tosfos gives you another drasha. He said, if the machlok was as follows, that gedil gedilim gets you to 4, and then do you think that's total or per min?
Per min.
Per min. Per color. Right? Per white and... Right, that's what he thinks the machlokes is.
But that only works if you hold half.
Wait. So he says, which he does.
Well, he
this does. Is l'shitato. Correct. Meaning, l'shitato, he says, how do you get to 16? Is that everybody agrees with the drasha that gets you to 4, and the only question is,
so
is that total or per color?
So according to, let's say, the Rambam or Rav Amram Gaon, you wouldn't be able to do it?
He couldn't do this drasha. Right, this drasha wouldn't work according to them. They have to understand the drasha differently. But he said, if there's no machloket, he said, but what is the logic to say you could do 4, which is 8, you could do 8, which is 16? I understand the notion of machlokes. Makes sense. 3 strings, which is 6, Beis Hillel. 4, which is 8, Beis Shammai. 8, which is 16, which is the simple read of the Gemara on Membet, according to Rav Achami Difti. But how do you get to either 4 or 8? So he says, "Vitzarach lomar dechol zayesh b'mashmaut gdili." Said this is all possibilities are encapsulated by the word gdili. Di avit chelit v'lovan min shnehem arba chutin gdilim garinen be. V'avit mikol chad v'chad gdilim. Kigon arba chutim lovan, arba chutim tchelet, gedilim nami karinim bay. Velo mosifu. Aval rami tvei mosifu vigareya v'omidu. So, what's his first answer? It's a very fascinating answer. What's his answer?
That you could...
That, you, because it's ambiguous. Gedilim means 4. And there are 2 different types that... Well, that's what the Gemara did.
Okay.
I mean, however you got to Gedilim meaning 4, which we already talked about, which is it because Gedil means woven, and then Gedilim is 2?
That was yesterday.
Okay. 2 days ago, even. 2 days ago. You were sick 2 days ago.
Oh, no, because I read 2 days ago, the Gemara from 2 days ago yesterday.
Okay, correct. So that, however we got to that, right? Gedil means doubled, and Gedilim, therefore, is doubled.
Right.
And there, so he says...
Machlokes, though, no?
What?
Wasn't it Machlokes?
It's a machlokes to understand both. It's a machlokes b'hilul Beis Shammai and a machlokes to understand what the drasha is. But let's, for the moment, just understand that that's the drasha. So he says, here's the chiddush. There's 2 options. The options are either make gedilim, which is composite, or make gedilim, where each is a gedil, and then you add. I mean, that's exactly what the drasha is telling, is you have a choice.
Doesn't
a gedil is, right, the gedilim are 4, and now you have an option. Do you define your tzitzis as gedilim made of blue and white, or gedilim of blue and gedilim of white?
Doesn't that only work if you hold that techeles is, the significance, I guess, of techeles, or the importance of it is as equal to lava?
What?
Doesn't that only work if you hold that Techeles is as significant or as important?
Good. So I think you're 100% right. I think that Tosfos' Svara only works because he is working on the assumption that Lavan and Techeles are equivalent. And therefore, for him, it's a conceptual possibility that I can conceptualize Tzitzis as 4, meaning Gedilim composed of blue and white, or Gedilim of blue and Gedilim of white, but only because he thinks that they're conceptually equivalent. And therefore, he thinks it's an option. And remember,
that wouldn't even
so much so,
wouldn't even work within Rashi. Even Rashi who says it's not
good. You're right. I think 100%. I think that according it only works according to Tosfot, because Tosfot thinks that if you don't have one,
you just
take it out. Yeah. Which means that Tosfot thinks that really there are two distinct elements here.
Right.
And that's why Tosfot thinks this is possible. That because blue and white both have independent identities, so much so that if I was missing one, according to Tosfot at this point, what would I do? Leave it out. So therefore, he says, I can conceptualize tzitzis as composite of equal blue and white making of gedilim, or of two separate gedilim that happen to combine. Those are two models, but it only works because Tosfot l'shitato
thinks
that they're equal.
Does anyone else
I think
talk
you're right
about this? Because no one else holds that they're equal. So does anyone else talk about this machlokas?
I mean, everyone talks about this machlokas.
I mean, how do they solve it?
Well, so we've seen, he didn't think it's machlok ben asugyo.
So that's just everyone that's...
Right, Tosfot is the only one who comes up with this particular compromise. That it's 4-8. So now, let me...
How does this tzitzis look like? I don't remember.
What?
Tosfot's tzitzis.
2-2?
Like?
2-2.
How do we tie it? Like that.
Tosfot, how does he tie? I don't even know if he says. I don't know if he does. But let's see if we can push it farther. Let's see if we can push it. So let me read you from the Rav.
Oh yeah, it's completely equal.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Completely.
It's like half white and half white.
Yeah, there you go. It's completely equal. I mean, that's what it... So here's... let me read you the Rav. The Rav quotes Tosfos. He quotes the whole machlokas we saw. And then he says, Ach divrehem eina muvanim klal. He's like, I honestly have no idea what Tosfos wants. Right? Like, what are they talking about? He says, "In minyan gedilim nemar al kol minu min lifnei atzmo as meikar din tzarach shmona chudim shleim umadu adaylanu barba." He says, "I don't understand. What's Tosfos' argument? Meaning, we've just outlined what Tosfos' argument is, but what's the problem, Daniel? What's the problem with Tosfos' answer?" But so the Rav says, "I don't understand. What do you mean? You have an option of having composite gedilim or gedil two different gedilim in each tzitzit? It's either one or the other."
What does it mean by composite?
I mean, made up of both. Do you think that Gedilim is 4, which is 2+2, or 8, which is 4+4? Tosfot says you have an option. Either have one set of Gedilim, which is blue and white, or Gedilim of white and Gedilim of blue. The Rav says, what are you talking about? If Gedilim means a 4-string unit made up of blue and white, then it means a 4-string unit made up of blue and white. And if it means an 8-string unit of 4 white and 4 blue, then it means an 8-string unit of four white and 4 blue. And im gedilim al klal chutim nemardua hamatel shmona chutim. He said, "Eino over Ezer Baal Tosef." He said, either gedilim is the end result, or gedilim is a component. It's not either a component or an end result. That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, that's clearly what Tosfot said, but what does that mean? That makes no sense.
Why can't he just say 2-2 is a component, but they're not ma'akev, so that's what you could have 2-2, but you could also have 2-2.
Well, so this is the problem, right? We've suggested what he might mean.
Isn't that the whole point, though?
I mean, it is, but the Rav's saying, I don't get it. Right? I mean, this is just the Rav's way of saying, I don't understand what he wants. He says, "Eidu pshari yeshkan." What type of compromise is this? Shedaylanu barba chutim achamatel atshmonu chutim ain over abal tosef. Wait, this is the weirdest compromise. Either you can add, or you can't add. So here's what he says. So he tries. He said, "Look at the Gemara." So remember, the Gemara had quoted the machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, 3, which is 6, or 4, which is 8. But if you look at the Sifrei, which we read at the beginning, says, G'dilim da'asalacha lama ne'mar. Why does it say G'dilim? L'fisha ne'mar v'asulem tzitzit. Shome'ani, you take it. Shome'ani ya'asechot, this is the source 4, the first full source. Shome'ani chot echa b'fnei atzmet amalom G'dilim. Kama G'dilim nasim. Ein pachot mishlosha chutim kedivrei Beit Hillel. Ubeit Sham omrim ba'arba chutim shel tchelet v'arba chutim shel lavan. So the Rav says, Shtei ha-braytot ha-eluhim b'chinat shnei ha-ktuvim ha-machishim zeh-zeh. So the formulation in the Gemara and the formulation in the Sifrei are in tension. Because barishonam b'stavkim Beit Shammai b'minyan arba chutim. Ach b'sifrei muzkar chiyuv sheshmona chutim. Arba shel tchelet v'arba shel lavan. He said the Gemara formulates Beit Shammai as needing how many? Four. Now what does he mean?
Two and two.
No. Eight. But he calls it four. The Sifrei calls it Arba Chutim Shel Tchelet, Arba Chutim Shel Lavan. It says, it's weird. It says, remember we noticed this in the Sifrei that it's weird, because what does it say? Beit Hillel needs three, and clearly according to Beit Hillel, what does three mean? Three halt strings. And Beit Shammai needs four and four. So what's the Rav's problem? The Sifrei isn't consistent in how it uses the number. In Beit Hillel, the number it uses refers to whole strings. But suddenly, as soon as it moves to Beit Shammai, what does the number refer to? Half strings. And therefore it says Beit Hillel needs three, by which we mean six. And Beit Shammai needs four plus four. Or in other words, what does the Sifrei mean? Say? It's as if the Sifrei said, Beit Hillel needs three, and Beit Shammai needs eight. But that makes no sense. Either only talk about half strings, or only talk about
whole strings.
Right? Whole strings. But why is he talking about whole strings for Beit Hillel, and in terms of half strings for Beit Shammai? Which is the basic unit? It's either a whole or half. It can't be whole and half. So the Rav continues and he says, "Vihine, kasher matilim arba chutim labege. If you have four strings on the clothing, if shalachur katze echad labege, l'tzarach lachnitz kol chut l'toch nekev b'knafa talit koflo. If you attach strings by putting them through the hole, so then you will always have a half string folded. The yesh lachpor." And then he says, okay, but what happens when you fold strings? Conceptually, Daniel. Right, conceptually, when you fold strings, how do you imagine it? Ha'im zeu din ba'ufen shel ma'aseh ha'tolat tzitzit u'shmona rashi chudim notrim mimela. Is it that we conceptualize this as the folding is part of the way you put the strings in the tzitzis, but the fact that you then get half strings is not definitional. It's just what happens when you fold strings.
It has to be, though.
Oh, Shema Tfeila Rachutim Be'emza No'ada La'vi L'shmona Rashi Chut. Or is the category of strings that we need in tzitzit half strings? Meaning strings that have that string in the sense of things that dangle.
They can't be
from the corner. In which case the chefza we're talking about is not a whole string, but the half string that emerges from the corner.
The only way to tie a tzitzis is through a hole. But the byproduct of doing that is you split the tzitzis up. It doesn't
even so if that's his first possibility.
Even if you're not aiming specifically to do half and half, the second you do tie it through a hole, there will be a part of the string separated, meaning folded, even if it's a smaller part and a longer part. So it's just a byproduct. You can't avoid that.
So that's definitely a strong possibility, right? But the Rav wants to play with this, at least for Tosfos. And here's what he says. If you look at the Rambam formulates the halacha as follows. U'machnes sham arba chutin v'koflan be'emtza v'nimtzu shmona chutin mishulashin. What is the Rambam's language? Put in four, double, so that it comes out that you have eight.
He's saying his definition.
So he says, HaRambam hosev milad be'emtza. He said, fold them in the middle. What is this emphasis? Says, it sounds like from the Rambam that the real halacha is eight strings, which happen to be defined as four strings folded. V'kach mashmei Rashi. A mashmei anu menachor asegdil upotleyu mitocho. Rashi seems to see the same thing, that the definition is 8. And he says similarly, Rashi al HaTorah seems to think that the definition of strings is not 4 but is 8. Why? Do you remember? Remember what Rashi's famous gematria? That since it reminds you of the mitzvot, because the gematria is 600 plus 8 strings and 5 knots, which means what does he conceptualize it as? 8 separate strings. Separate strings.
Rashi uses gematria as a proof that it has to be 8 strings, or he says there's already 8 strings and therefore the gematria works out?
No, the gematria, see the 600 plus 8?
I understand the gematria, but is he saying the gematria, meaning what comes first?
I don't know which comes first, but the point is that by the end he thinks that the unit we're talking about is 8.
I think it matters, meaning if he's using the gematria to say there has to be 8 strings, I think it's different than saying, oh, there are 8 strings.
No, it's the other way around. Is that there are 8 strings, therefore it counts for the gematria.
The gematria is just kind of like, it's nice, but doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And then the Rav has another proof that maybe the shear of a string is a half string, and that is the sugya that unfortunately we're not really going to get to in depth, which is the length of the strings, but we ran through it on Sunday, which is 12 knots, 12 godel.
The knots have to be a third. Right?
Yeah. But 12 godel. Now, how much is the 12 godel, according to Rabbeinu Tam?
What's godel? Is that a length?
Thumbs? 12 godlim?
That's something else, isn't that?
But on which size is it? On the 12 godel per half string. So when the Gemara says, what's the shear? Rabbeinu Tam understands that as chatzi chut, the shear of a half string. And the whole string, therefore, is 24. And he says, what is this?
Measuring this way? Like,
no, this way.
Isn't that thumb breadths?
Yeah.
Isn't that a different word for that, though?
No, godel.
We use a
godel.
What is a different word for that?
Godel. It's a thumb.
Is that from where? From the Kesher Elyon?
Yeah.
Do you see Tzvi's tzitzis, by the way? His round tzitzis? He has 2 knots. He has one over here, also.
Alright.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
Wait, what? I thought the whole thing was...
Well, because it's a machlokus where we're trying to Kesher Elyon, so he actually has one over here.
So he says... So now the Rav says, we've now started to build up proofs that maybe there's a chalos to a half string. Right, that the string is the half string, from the Rambam, from Rashi, from the gematria of Rashi, from the fact that Rabbeinu Tam's shear that he gives is on the half string. And he said, I'll give you another proof that half string is the chefza of the string. From the Rambam. Tell me, what's this proof from the Rambam? The Rambam thinks
take
that...
Take 4 and you fold it.
Give me a better proof. The Rambam thinks that how many strings need to be tchelet?
One.
One half!
Right.
Which tells you that is a definition. Because otherwise... So clearly, there is a chalos to a half string. As a string. And now he says, go back to the Gemara Membet.
Well, the Rambam obviously also holds that Techeles is not as important as Lovon. So
now he says that here's the Machlokes. Right? The Machlokes is as follows. He thinks that everybody agrees that what's the shear? 8. What does it mean that you could either have 4 or 8? It means you have a choice whether to treat the chefza of the string that's relevant as a half string or as a whole string. That's really what it is. The shear is really 8 strings. But there's a definition to a half string, there's evidence to a whole string. And therefore he says, Al piz ze in shum stira ben abraito. Sharei yesh shnei minyanim shonim shel chutei tzitzis. Mitzar echad yesh minyan shel arba chutim lafi beit sham agdil agilim minyan gdilim. But there's one which is 4, which is the minimum of gedilim, and then there's the 8, which is the folded strings. The kach mefurish b'tosfot. Umasha anu koflin a arba lechet samchin lan lekamon v'achav b'yakov rami arba v'ayif lumev umayelu b'glimu v'chulei ad mar bar deravina, etc. Nimsa shedin gdil mechayev arba chutim shem shmona edek feil al chutim be'emza. The definition of gdil is 4, which is doubled to 8, by folding in the middle. V'imken yash halacha shashmona chutim. V'fizeh ko'ora adam eno mosif al shmona chutim hu lo hosif al minin chutim shetor achiva. And I can't love it. Madua ein bezem mishum bal tosif. But he said, look, once you say, here's Tosef's logic. There's a halacha that you need 8 strings. But as long as you have 8 strings in either of the two ways of understanding it, the minimum is 4, which is 8, and the maximum is 8. But once you go beyond 8 full strings,
that's already
right. There's two ways. His point is the minimum is.
There's two ways to look at 8.
Exactly. It's the minimum is 8 strings, and the minimum part of a string that's called a chut is a half string. But sometimes we refer to string as the whole string, and your choice is.
But he's the only one that says you can look at a string only as full meaning.
Correct.
No one else holds that way.
Correct.
And he says it just to. It's like a circle.
This is how he says you have to do it, is that once you see that in certain braita, the unit of string that's defined is whole, and in certain ones it refers to it as half, that means that a half string has a chalos of a string, and a whole string has a chalos of a string. And once I find out that the magic number is 8, so then the minimum is 8 half strings, and the maximum is 8 whole strings, but once you go beyond that, it's not the way we first understood it, that it's not just, oh, you can either do gedilim total or gedilim plus. It's the magic number is 8, and the brises are so there whether the string that we're talking about is a half or a whole, because both of them are halachically significant. So what Tosfot is being mechadish, and Inachanami is still a huge chiddush.
Yeah.
But what he's suggesting is that as long as you don't go beyond 8, I can construe what you have as 8 strings. But if you go beyond eight whole strings, then you can't. And he said, therefore, it's not just that you don't violate Bal Tosif, but it's that it becomes part of the tzitzis. Now, how does he know that this is true according to Tosfos? Because Tosfos already talked about a case where you add strings, it's Bal Tosif, but it doesn't integrate, and therefore it doesn't pasul. So it's clear that this is better than that case, where it actually integrates. But his chiddush is that in terms of filling the mitzvah, it doesn't add. And therefore, he said it becomes part of the chef social mitzvah, even though it's completely unnecessary to be mekayim the mitzvah.
So he says the homologous.
Now he has a little bit of a complicated thing in the footnote here of how that deals with kilayim, but I want to get into that.
He says the homologous between the two gemaras is that in the one.
So
in
no,
the
no so,
is it interprets.
So Tosfos thinks it's not a machloket. Tosfos thinks if you go above 8, it is Bal Tosif.
No.
And the Gemara here that says you can go up to 8 says that's the option. And that's how we understand the machloket.
It still has to be a machloket between how the Gemara's interpret a string.
No, he thinks that both of them are definitions. He said both a half string has a chalos and a whole string has a chalos, and that's the point. Me'ikra, then you only need 8 half strings. But if you add up to 8 whole strings, since I can still conceptually look at it as 8 strings, and we know that 8 strings is the shear, so that's why it's not necessary, but it's not baltosim, and that's how he understands.
There's two different gemaras that teach us that.
What?
Meaning, there's two.
He's pointing out that his proof is that sometimes when we talk about string, we talk about 3 and 4, and sometimes we talk about half strings, and sometimes the same price we switch, which tells you
they're equal.
Right? Because in the Sifrei, it says Beit Hillel says 3, which clearly means 3 whole, and Beit Shammai needs 4 plus 4, which means half. So he says the same Sifrei understands string to mean half or whole, because it switches back and forth between the usages, which is what tells him that there's two, that both of them are live options within tzitzit. Again, it's Tosfos is a chiddush to begin with, right. But he's saying within Tosfos, this is how to understand Tosfos. Yeah.
No, I was just going to ask if I realize you don't, but if you have whole strings, does that mean you like tie them together instead of folding them over.
Well, that seems to be what happened on Mimbet.
But
right?
That's what I'm saying.
He said three strings, but that means like three folded over.
Right. No. So yeah, no. It seems that you would fold it over. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
How do you tie tzitzis through a hole without the byproduct being some strings going over? Even if they're not as long as these, you're gonna have strings coming out, and the second they come out on the other side, it's a half string. Like you're always gonna have folded over strings.
No, yeah.
But the byproduct of
you fold over the strings, but you still view it as, oh, I've used like this many.
Correct.
Like you have three whole strings, and you fold them over, and you tie it up as like.
Right. So the Rav is saying that right at a certain level, we would conceptualize it as you have six. At a certain level, we conceptualize you have three within Beis Hillel, and the same for Beis Shammai. And therefore, he says the minimum you need is four, which is eight. But if you have eight, which is eight, right? I mean, eight, which is eight, which is 16.
Then it's not baltos.
Exactly, because you still can conceptualize eight strings. Okay, let's quickly look at halacha here, and then finish up the sugya. Shulchan Aruch says, minyan chut etzit v'kol knaf arba kfulim shein shmona vim hosef patol pasol yachdo chrash echud n'arba v'ilchem knafat v'ich b'leim v'azye shmona. Right? Shulchan Aruch says, four, which is eight. The Gra says, and he says, and if you add, it's totally possible. Who does Shulchan Aruch Paskin like? The Rashba, who prioritizes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and says, if you add any, possible. The Gra says, Avalatosu dochku, Dahida Sanhedrin, Chule, Mishmonat, Zayin, Yachal, Osef, the Cholzeb, Mashmo, Gdilim, only call Echad Levad, O Mishneim Yachad. It tells what it said. Gedilim is either total or composite. Aval yoter garua v'omed. Aval arash besvir le dilo impossible. V'hani amarei desham daf min bet pligi ha'zadeh. And he says, and it's machlo v'ra sugyot. But he says, lahalacha the gra paskins nira kedad bala itur. Demachshir. Usvarato nechona v'ikar. Dechibaslim v'sanet sham daf v'oshet min acher. Dum yadalula v'sham doto amin machshirin afil achatkil osuf kama sharotze. The Gra Paskins, like the Bala Itur, who holds, add as many as you want, as long as it's from the same men. So remember, we had three positions. Rajba, prioritize the Gemara and Sanhedrin, only four, which is eight. The Itur, add whatever you want, as long as it's from a min, which is kosher for tzitzis.
Right.
And Tosot, either four. Between four and eight.
Right.
So, Shulchan Aruch Paskins.
But in that case, Tosot, it has to be either four and eight, it can't be like six.
That's what you would think. He sounds like he says because anywhere in between, but it sounds more like it's...
You can't. It wouldn't work.
That's what I would say in terms of... It doesn't... I'm not sure that's what Tosos actually says, but conceptually, that's what he should say. I hope that's what he's saying. I can't promise you that is what he's saying, but I would hope that's what he's saying. The Gra Paskins, like the Itter, who says, add as many as you want. And the Mishnah Berurah, right? Mishnah the Gavur Baltosif, Agra Beveurav Hiskim Halacha L'shita the Itter, Amuva Beis Yosef, Shesover she'ein bazeh mishum al tosif chibaslim megmara bazeh dafke tosif min acher la'achutim kegon chutei kanbos otzemer gefen avo oto amin machsharin afilu chatchil la'osif kama sherotze va'ayin ba'artel rachayim shevi od kama gedol rishon shesoverin came v'chein mazim la'asom kvar v'yevshel ataknem yochol leilich b'hem avo miyad shiuchol ataknem tzorch lataknem uvigorea b'achutim kuleyam apostol. So the artel rachayim says that since there are many rishonim who do agree that you're allowed to add, so you don't have to like rip them off right away. You should take them off to be safe, but b'shas al-chag you can rely on those shita. And that's what you get le-halacha. Okay, I gave you one thing just for fun at the end. I even titled it just for fun. So in general, one of the most fascinating sugyas that there's a svarim that has been written, and it's, you know, it's sometimes quite wild in terms of what he says, is a sefer known as Chashuki Chemed, written by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. So Zilberstein writes these shailas on al Seder Hadaf, and so he likes like riddles and crazy, wild, out there shailas and fancy answers, and has all types of funny things going on there. You know, like I remember once I was reading a tshuva by his where he said he had a someone asked him, or I don't know if it was a real Shaila or not, but he has Safik that if his Rebbe was coming to visit and there were other Gedolim there who didn't respect his Rebbe, should he stand up for his Rebbe when his Rebbe comes in the room? Because what was his suffolk? On the one hand, he wants to show respect to his Rebbe, so he'll stand up. But if he stands up, it'll cause the other Rebbeim to like say, like, "Oh, you're standing up for him?" Right? So maybe it's better not to stand up. And he said, maybe it's talui in whether you think it's a din in you, that you're chayv to be mechabed, or in the result. Right, the result that he'd be mechubad, and in this case, it might cause it, right? And he goes back and forth and back and forth, and he's like, I have a solution. When your Rebbe walks into the room, you should throw a live chicken on the floor, which will cause everybody to jump out of their seats in confusion, and then everyone will stand up for your Rebbe, but no one will notice what they're doing. But he has very weird solutions sometimes to problems. It's a bit of an... It's a very
interesting... I find
a live chicken at your mom's.
I have no idea where this came from, but this is actually what he says. So
I find it funny how all these rabbis and like Gemara and whatever, none of them have like basic derech eretz. Like they always just make fun of each other, and they're like, "Oh, they're gonna make fun of him if he stands up for his rabbi." Like,
I don't understand.
Like rabbis are not supposed to act like that. Like,
yeah, just took it for another time. There's a tshuva by the Chavetz Yar, which we published in the back of the Chavetz Chaim, where he goes through every insult in Shas and tries to figure out how they're not really insults. But it's funny because like he just gives you a list of every insult, and when you look at the cumulative evidence, they clearly are. It's very hard. He like tries to do it, but things like "ein lo moch v'kadkado," which means he has no brain in his skull, is very hard to take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll say things like when he says he was sleeping. Oh, that wasn't an insult. It was, I'm so convinced he's smart that if he said that, he must not have been paying attention, because if he was paying attention, he would have said something brilliant. Like,
so how was that there?
Anyways. But he has this following sort of funny shayla. He says, what happens if, he says, shayla, ne'mar b'bchoro, kamachutin notein, etc. V'ish l'stapik. I'll look at the second paragraph. Adama nimtza b'meiron, v'rotzei l'kanes l'toch ma'arat, hilel k'dei l'hitvalel, shesham kovrim gam tamida. In Meiron, we think we have the kever of Hillel. So he said, are you allowed to go in to daven, assuming you like davening by graves, at the kever of Hillel, wearing our tzitzis with four strings, or is that insulting to Hillel? Because, like
it's
I said,
not the same.
I said it was just for fun.
Isn't that the same thing, like the Gemara, I think it was in Rachel, that talks about tucking your tzitzis when you go to a grave in general?
Well, yes. Gavi actually texted me about it, that he remembered that when he was getting ready for his grandfather's funeral. Like he said, you know, he sent me a text message. He's like, you know, the things you do in shir, sometimes they become lamaisa, because I was putting in my tzitzis, whatever, and then I realized from shir, which is good.
Oh, we do paskin that we have to tuck it in?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So dead people have feelings.
And he said a similar shayla, if you were visiting the grave of Yehuda Bar Eloi, Sir of Yehuda thinks that you can daven mincha until what time? Plag ha-mincha. And then you daven marav after plag. Remember the machlok in the Gemara in Bracha? Whether mincha marav, the cutoff is plag, or nightfall? Sir of Yehuda holds it's plag. So he says, same type of question, am I allowed to go to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's kever and daven mincha before Shkia? Right, same shayla. I said this is for fun, dude. This is not the shayla I would ask. Tshuva. His answer is, Ein sarach lahorid et atzitzit. He said, I have a compromise. Jiz, answer one. You don't have to take off the tzitzis. Why?
Because they shouldn't be out anyway.
No. Because, according to the Gra, you're allowed to add. We pass them like the Itter. So worst comes to worst. Hillel will look and say, aha, they're wearing four, but not because they possibly can be shopping, because they hold three and you're allowed to add as much as you want. Oh, like the Gron the Inter. That's why. Therefore, he says, you're not. Oh, it's not usher to wear it. But therefore, by that logic, he says, maybe if you go to the grave of Yehuda Bar Eloi, would you be allowed to daven mincha after plag? No, because there's no way of defending such a practice. And he says that indeed, the Divrei Yatziv, the Klosenberger Rebbe, Tzanz Klosenberg, he said he once davened a late mincha at the Kever of Yehuda Bar Eloi, and after mincha he felt so bad, so that he didn't calm down until he went back on a different day and davened early mincha.
Isn't that a bigger problem?
He said, similarly, there were certain rabbis who, when they would go to Krakow, which is where the Ramah was, they wouldn't wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbat Chazon, because the Ramah Paskin and Shabbat Chazon, where the 9 days you're not supposed to wear Shabbos clothes. That's not the Minhag Olam. We say, no, it's Shabbos, and therefore we wear Shabbos clothes. But the Ramah didn't. So there were people that, in Krakow, they wouldn't wear it. So he says... indeed, he thinks that you should be worried about such things. He just thinks that by tzitzis there's a technicality, which is you can pass on like the Gram Itter.
Well, also, wouldn't you say you shouldn't be wearing tzitzit there in the first place?
Yeah! I honestly have no idea what to do with this shuva. I find this whole question so beyond the type of thing I would ever ask.
Why would you paskin that you have to talk about tzitzis?
Lord Garash.
What?
A sugya we didn't do. One of the many sugyas that, unfortunately, we won't do. I mean, I guess we could.
Why?
If you want to keep going on tzitzis forever. But according to Yukara, we've done at least 45 shirim already on tzitzis.
Wow.
So, or at least from when the algorithm started noticing that I had a series going on tzitzis. So, yesh gvul we can do here.
Why?
Lord Larash.
Which means?
Which is the dead people. So... it's not quite clear, right? It's clear that you're like making fun of the dead people. The question of whether that is because you think that they know,
I mean,
or is it you, right? Like
it can't be you because your intent isn't to make it up, to make fun of them. Nobody else would assume you're making fun of them because why would anyone else know? Like,
this is a story in the Gemara. So it's not like
you have to deduce that. Oh, it's because the dead people will know, but. How do dead people have emotions and know anything? What does that mean?
You were doing dafyomi. Don't you remember this again?
Yeah, but Prophet doesn't tell you why. It just gives you two opinions. And
it goes on. Do they know what's going on? Now what's going on?
I know, but it doesn't like actually tell you what we hold in the end. It doesn't mean it makes sense just because it talks
about it. Yeah, if you're asking me to actually understand what it means that the dead know what's going on, this is beyond me. I have no idea. I don't know. Is it a halachic category? It indeed is a halachic category. Okay.
The Rambam also says we hold like that.
Yes.
Wow.
I think. I'm pretty sure. Okay, so let's stop there. Like I said, we have one more sugya that I want to do in this perek. I opted not to do Lord Garash because it is such a weird sugya. If you want to, we could always come back to
it.
This question of whether you can do things around dead people and stuff like that. It's an interesting sugya. It's right here on Memalev.
I feel like if you're going to hold that way, then you might as well just say the right
Look, it's always possible we could come back to it in Kayetz. I just want to do some, like, maybe some Purim stuff and some Minchara Omer stuff. In the sixth parak before we get to Pesach and Sfirat Omer. If you guys want to come back to Loeg L'Rush, we can always come back to Loeg L'Rush if you really, really want to do that sugya. It is an interesting sugya. I've worked on it many times. There are different ways of taking the sugya. I'm happy to do it. The one sugya I want to do, because it really is only a sugya here, the main sugyas of Loeg L'Rush aren't here. They're in Brachot and they're in Nida.
Yeah.
So I don't really...
In Nida, why?
It comes up, just like a lot of things come up in different places. So that's where, like, the main discussion Rishonim is. Like, here there's very little, but the Tosfos and Nida is very, very long. But the sugya that only appears here is this Tastikila Miftarat from Minna Mitzvah Adam Nemalef, which was that very odd thing with the Malach, right? That when God is angry, he will punish those people who are derelict from being Mekayim Mitzvah, even without violating a law.
I would love to see how the Rambam interprets that one.
So I want to do that, because that is a really interesting meta question. And what I want to deal with that sugya, and we'll see, there are different shitot on two. Is that only by a mitzvah kiyumis? Does that mean, does that include cases where I put myself in a situation where I'm not chayav at all? What if I am chayav, but I pretend I'm not chayav, right? Are all these the same different formulations that come up like this? And it has lamaisa implications. Lichtenstein invokes it in an article that he wrote many years ago about whether it's right to go on tiulim on sukkahs, because technically while you're on a tiul, you don't have to eat in the sukkah, but you've created a situation in which you're now a traveler and therefore don't need to eat in the sukkah. Is that right to dafka take a trip on sukkahs? That would mean that you're not by the sukkah. Does it depend on justification? So I do want to try to think of over these meta issues a little bit. So that's what I want to do tomorrow. I think what's going to happen is that Ginsburg Shear is going to join us, but maybe not Bracha. Right, Ginsburg is going to the wedding.
Where?
He's going to a wedding. He'll be back just for a few days. Khalid's brother. Right, that's where Khalid left yesterday for the wedding.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Khalid and David.
Oh, you know.
So I think they might join us, though you can probably, if you want, you can do what they're doing. You can either do Akhana for this year.
What year are you going to do?
What? I'm going to give them this topic, but the question is whether you guys want to work on like your